Hello and welcome to The Healthy Back, the podcast that shares practical tips to have a healthy spine and lead an active lifestyle. I'm your host, Taruna Rijwani, physical therapist and McKinsey Method specialist, and every week I'll be sharing tips and lessons to help you manage your back problems without pain pills, injections, or surgeries. We will talk about the common challenges that people with spinal issues face, debunk the myths, and even break down the research on spine and joint-related problems for you. And yes, also have a lot of fun along the way. I hope you'll join me on the ride. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast player so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you're listening, don't forget to leave a ratings and review on iTunes. It really helps to spread the message further. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Healthy Back. It's been a while since we've recorded an episode. We've been doing a little more work on YouTube lately, but this episode is a very special one. We have a very special guest in today's episode. His name is Dr. Thomas Schuler. He is the founder of Virginia Spine Institute here in Reston, Virginia. He is a double board certified surgeon, and he's trained in neurosurgery as well as orthopedic surgery of the spine. And he is also the president of the National Spine Health Foundation. And as he talks about this in the episode, he started the Spine Institute, I believe he said about 32 years ago. And it's grown so much since then. He has been involved in spinal health and spinal care for a long time. So we have an amazing conversation in this episode about spinal issues, what is sciatica, when is someone a candidate for surgery versus when is someone a candidate for natural ways of healing when it comes to sciatica, as well as some very good solid tips for anyone who is 50 plus. Anyone who is in their 50s, 60s, 70s, who has heard the words degenerative spine, disc issues, and who would love to stay active, who would like to take better care of their spine and joint health. We have some excellent tips and discussions with Dr. Schuler. So without further ado, go ahead and enjoy this episode. Also, if you enjoy this episode as an extension to this episode and to continue the conversation, we are hosting our live workshop on staying active with sciatica on April 26th, Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. It will be held online via Zoom, and you get to attend this workshop live with yours truly. And you get to, you know, ask any of your questions, be around a community of people who are suffering from similar issues like yourselves. So we'll put in the link to sign up for this complimentary workshop for our listeners in the description box below. We do have limited spots for this workshop because we like to keep the event small so we can get to all of your questions within the allotted amount of time. So yeah. Here's the episode. Hello, Dr. Schuler. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, of course. So let's start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your practice.
Sure. Happy to do that. So I'm a spinal surgeon or spinal expert. I did a residency in orthopedic surgery and then a fellowship in neurosurgery and orthopedic surgery of the spine. And I practice a comprehensive management of spinal health care. So neck, thoracic, low back, the whole area, and take care of it. And I've done that for 32 years now out in practice. So in 1992, amazing. I founded the Virginia Spine Institute in Reston, amazing. Virginia, because there was an enormous need for a comprehensive spine center. And so it started as a one-man institute. And I've been able to grow it into one of the leading world entities for spinal health care. And so it's been fun to watch the field evolve.
Yeah. No, it must have been amazing to start your journey as, like you said, a one-man institute to now it being a fully world-renowned institute with so many doctors, other practitioners. So I'm sure you've seen all the ups and downs, the highs and lows that have kind of come and gone in the spinal world.
Well, the world of spinal healthcare has evolved incredibly over my entire career. In fact, when I started, it was a bit of the dark ages where people were told, take two aspirin, lay in bed, don't do anything, and maybe get moving. It really has been through the work as a expert evolving the field, and not only the non-operative side, but also the operative side, where we've gone from where we just had a few options to now we have all these amazing technologies of motion preservation, disc regeneration, quality therapy, dry needling, joint mobilization. All this stuff has transformed patients' lives, and really, it's these miracles of modern healthcare that I've been able to help foster through the evolution that is now modern spinal healthcare.
No, that is true. That is amazing because years ago it used to be all about the bed rest. Like you said, take a couple aspirin, and now it's changed so much in terms of spinal health. So what kind of drove you to, start Virginia Spine Institute?
It was pretty simple. What I wanted, what I saw was needed, didn't exist. I did a fellowship in Los Angeles at a elite orthopedic center. It was the Curl and Joe Clinic, where you've heard of the Tommy John procedure and some of the other treatments. That's where they were developed, and they had this multidisciplinary center there. And so when I came to the East Coast, nobody was doing that. Nobody was a fellowship trained spine surgeon, period. But they didn't understand rehab. They didn't understand minimally invasive surgery. And so it was through the need to say, we really need to develop this and have all the different tools. So again, started as a one-man institute, but was able to grow and recruit and bring in the amazing talent and to where we are today.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, if you have to like simplify it, how do you help people with spinal issues? People are always a little intimidated seeking a consultation from a spinal surgeon. So, what are the different ways you would help someone with a spinal issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an important question. We're very unique at the Virginia Spine Institute because our surgeons, who are the spine specialists, do all the screening. So the patients come to us, and then we evaluate them and then see what's the best way to go. And if it's non-operative, then we have them work with our non-operative team, the physiatrists, and pain management experts, or maybe work alongside the surgeons. We only operate on 5 to 10% of our patients, so it's a very small amount. But the important thing, the essential thing, is to take the time to talk to the patient, hear what their symptoms are, and then examine them. And so often the problem is localized through a tender area on the surface, whether it's in a facet joint, the SI joint, or some other structure. So palpation is a critical part. Understanding what's the problem, and then going ahead and helping the patient come up with a treatment plan that will allow them to progress and restore their lives back. But it's really it's the detailed history, it's the clinical hands-on examination, it's the use of diagnostic studies to understand what the true problem is, what the true pain generator is, and then to work with the person that it's not just, okay, I took care of your neck pain or back pain, but do I have you back to the full functional level that you desire, that you can play golf, you can play with your kids, you can do your job, whatever it is that a person desires. And it's not just, what we do isn't just the treatment. The patient's very much involved in the treatment, and they have to take their part, their role in getting better.
No, that's amazing. That's what makes all the difference from just treating the spine or the back issue versus looking at it as a whole person overall and what their expectations are. So I know this is like a very open question, but in general, if someone has sciatica or pinched nerve, what would you say as very general, broad criteria where you would consider surgery for them, or you would send them along the lines of non-operative or conservative treatment?
Well, let's start with the word sciatica, because that's probably one of the most misused words in understanding spine problems. So true sciatica is pain radiating down the back of the thigh, the back of the calf, or the side of the thigh, side of the calf. So it's a pain that radiates into the extremity. Most people use sciatica talking about back pain. And you can have back pain with a nerve impingement, which is what causes sciatica. But if you just have back pain, that's a different problem. So when we're talking about people that are having true leg symptoms, if we're talking about the low back, which is where sciatica is referenced, then the treatment for that is always start with anti-inflammatories if they can take them, get them into a therapy program, mobilize the tissues, see if we can calm down. Now, if they're not getting better, and we've looked at X-rays and we don't see a structural problem such as a slippage of the spine or a fractured tumor, et cetera, then we would get an MRI to look and see the actual nerves and discs and understand there's something pinching it. If the sciatica is coming from a very large disc herniation that's crushing a nerve, then often that's something that would respond much better to removing it rather than trying to prolong treatment with steroids, injections, traction time, all that stuff. So it depends on the size of the herniation, the amount of problems a person's having. Are they having weakness? Are they having numbness in their lower extremity? And so, but again, we always want to get people better without surgery if possible, and that's what we do. So that's where working in physical therapy, getting anti-inflammatories, if necessary, steroids, if necessary, a steroid injection can be done to try to help. But if that's not solving it, or the weakness is too great, or the herniation is too big, then a microsurgical procedure where we remove that fragment, either directly with the microscope or endoscopically, is usually the best way to solve the problem in those cases.
Yeah, no, awesome. That type of clarification is like so helpful for patients because they, when someone has a problem like that, intense amount of pain, they are so guarded by fear almost. So that type of an objective clarification, I'm sure is going to be very reassuring for people who are listening and may have symptoms like that, that they have a few choices and one way or the other, they can reach the finish line.
Yeah, I mean, the most important question is how much pain is in your back versus your leg? And it's a percent. Do I have 90% in my back and 10% in my lower extremity, or is it 10% of my back, 90% in the lower extremity? And it's understanding this percent breakdown of symptoms that is bothering a person that enables us to come up with a recommendation to say, what will best help you recover? What will best help solve your problem? But that's something that's essential if somebody's a true spine specialist. They should be quantifying the percent symptoms in your neck and arm, or your back and your leg, at the time they're evaluating, because the very different problems if it's more back versus more leg.
No, I love it. I love the breakdown and explanation of that. So what would you say, Dr. Schuler, to someone who is in their 50s, 60s, 70s, majority of our listeners, people who have sort of a degenerated spine by that time, but who like to stay active, how can they take better care of their spinal health?
That's a great question. And reality is, when we get to be 50 and beyond, we can no longer do your sport for your exercise. You have to exercise and mobilize tissues so you can do your sport or your activities. And I always like that people say, well, I go for a walk and that's my activity. And we need to be involved in a very well-rounded program. We need to be working on our tissue mobility, stretching and flexibility, using rollers, rolling on rollers to keep the tissues mobilized. We need to be doing stretching, and then we need to be doing core strengthening, but we also need to be doing global strengthening. We need to be doing anaerobic conditioning as well as aerobic conditioning. So it sounds like a lot of work, and the answer is it is. But if we want to live a healthy life, if we're not actively working at it, then we're going to have a problem. And it's what I always say, is that exercise is medicine. And it's much better to do exercise and medicine than to take pills. And so that's really, to me, the key. In fact, I have a little acronym that I call Avoid Meds, which is, to me, this talk about our health cycle. And if we talk about a health cycle and how to get better, it's you want to avoid certain things. And the avoidance is you want to avoid nicotine by any way you can, because nicotine is so detrimental to the healing process of the body. We want to avoid alcohol and drugs because they're detrimental. An occasional drink is okay, but excessive alcohol or illicit drug use is very detrimental. So that's the avoid part. The meds is our mental health, and then E is exercise, D is diet, and S is sleep. And these are all essential parts of our life. And the mental part is, are you taking fish oil to help your brain? Are you doing exercises that help clear your brain? Are you getting the sleep that helps clear your brain? Are you eating a nutritious diet that helps with the brain? Exercise is essential, as we already talked about, mobilizing tissue, strengthening muscles, keep you functioning. The diet is essential, and that's eating a healthy, well-rounded diet. We're omnivores, so I do believe that we should not be abstaining from any protein, but it's really eating natural foods that aren't processed in appropriate portions is really what matters. And taking supplements, because I think vitamins are critical to fill in the holes in our diet. So getting that in there, and hydration. And the last part is sleep. It's essential that we're getting enough sleep, that we're able to sleep, because the magical elixir of sleep heals so many structures and mental problems. We all know how poorly we function if we don't get a good night's sleep. Well, that's the part that's healing. And if we exercise, it makes us tired. If we're mentally stimulating ourselves, it makes us ready to sleep at night and rejuvenate. So to me, avoid meds is a nice acronym to say what we all should be doing, but especially our 50 plus crowd.
Yeah, no, I love how you summarized it. I think it pretty much said everything to the point, and I loved your acronym meds. I'm definitely going to steal it here and there if you don't mind. But I love it. I love how you summarized everything that someone over 50 should be doing, because we should be grateful enough to be able to stay healthy and active. So we will have to put in the work in order to get those results.
That's great.
So any last tips for our listeners, Dr. Schuler?
You know, you have to take charge of your health. It's have one body, and it's your responsibility. And everybody wants to say, well, what one exercise can I do? What one pill can I take? What can I do? And it isn't. It's this whole cycle of health. If we don't take care of our mind, and we're not taking care of our body, and we're not doing the right things, then it doesn't work out. So it's saying that we have to understand how interrelated everything is. And it gets confusing now. I mean, I just read this article and don't know the truth in it, but I read it that talked about mouthwash raises blood pressure. Because it's killing healthy bacteria at the back of our mouth, which then affects ultimately what's going on with our blood pressure. And so I don't know whether it's true or not, but when you look at how interrelated everything has become, it's so important that we understand that our ability to do a good exercise program, our ability to get sleep at night, our ability to eat the right diet, our ability to mentally stimulate ourselves and to have the right support group around us are all essential. But it's something which takes significant focus on our part. It doesn't have to be consuming. And the important thing is it has to be sustainable. You can't make it so hard that it's not sustainable, that we're so focused on it that we can't have a piece of birthday cake when somebody's celebrating a birthday, or that we can't have a toast at a family celebration toasting somebody. So it's not an absolute, but it's a question of saying you have to come up with a program that's sustainable, that's comprehensive. And if you slip up occasionally, that's okay. We all can have that, because it's a lifetime transaction. So if you have a bad day, or you have an event that takes you a little out of whack, then get back in the saddle and get going again. So overall, I think that your life is very controllable on your part, but you got to put the time and energy in, and that's the hard part.
Yeah, no, I love the sustainable piece too, because a lot of people, when they listen to advice like this, they just jump into it right away. And then, like you said, they cannot take little breaks like a piece of cake or a toast here and there. And it's the sustainable is, I think, the key to success as well. So how can listeners reach you if they want to follow you on social media, or if they want to reach out for a consultation, if you want to share any information with them?
Sure. I have an Instagram, which I never remember the name, but I think it's Thomas Schuler, MD at Virginia Spine or something like that.
We can find the handle. Yeah, and add it to our notes. There.
My LinkedIn has I have over 20,000 LinkedIn followers, and that would be under my name, Thomas Schuler, Thomas C. Schuler, MD. If people need to reach me, I'm at the Virginia Spine Institute. I'm chairman of the National Spine Health Foundation, so we're doing a ton of work on spinehealth.org. which is a national organization. It's basically the American Heart Association of Spine that I founded over 20 years ago. And we're trying to improve spinal health care knowledge for all. And so through the spinehealth.org, incredible opportunity to gain information from a vast array of experts that we've assembled.
Amazing.
So all good stuff. My main advice is stay active, stay healthy, and enjoy your life.
No, I love it. I love how you summarized it. I love the acronyms. I'm sure listeners are going to get a ton out of this episode. So thank you so much for taking the time for being with us today.
My pleasure. You have a wonderful day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to The Healthy Back today. I'll be back next week with more tips to help you lead a pain-free and active lifestyle. For now, don't forget to hit the subscribe button, and please don't forget to share this podcast with your friends or anyone else who might benefit from learning about how to live a healthy lifestyle.